Amen. And the devil is a liar. Christ Jesus broke the curse of the law of sin and death. He broke that curse. He broke it off of us. The curse was a place of bondage. It was a place of insufficiency. It's a place of nothing going right and everything going wrong. You're not under the curse. You have not been cursed. And because God has not cursed you, nobody else can. But now if somebody comes up to you, now this is only an analogy. This is not Pastor Killings releasing curses. But if somebody comes up to you, can I use you, Brother Finn? If they come up to you and say, I curse you in the name of whoever they serve. You can't let that get you all bent out of shape. You can. But as a child of God, you can't do that. You understand? Because it doesn't matter if the witch doctor from Voodoo Land somewhere in, you know, third world country who's been worshiping and has been, you know, devoting themselves into voodooism and all of that, and they come up to you and they say they release a curse on you, you can't curse what God has blessed. I just gave you one verse, but there are many verses concerning God blessing his sons and daughters. The blessing breaks the back of the curse. So if you think you're cursed, or you feel like you've been cursed, or somebody's told you you're under a curse, you better go back to the Word of God and renew your mind. Because those very words will work on your mind, in your thought life, in your thought patterns, and try and bring you into subjection to those words and the power of them to make you think something that's not true. The truth of the matter is that you're blessed. Yeah. The whole truth of the matter is that you are a blessed man or woman of God. Whether people acknowledge it or not, it doesn't matter. What matters is that God said it, and as the saying goes, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. But let's just take it the short route. God said it, that settles it. All we have to do is believe it. So we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. The way it says in the King James is with all, which means every spiritual blessing is yours. What are the spiritual blessings? Anybody want to take a guess at it? Well, let's ask some questions. When Jesus was at the well with the woman, and they were talking about worship, Jesus said, God is, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Hold on. From the earth side, we see first that is what? You don't know where I'm at or where I'm going. First, we see the natural, and then we see the spiritual. But from heaven's side, first is the realm of the spirit, because we see that the things that are made were made not by the things which are seen, but by the things which do appear. That's what the Bible teaches us.
So the spirit realm is more real than the natural realm itself. The spirit realm is more powerful than the natural realm. Everything that we see in the natural came forth out of the realm of the spirit. So to have all earthly and no spirit won't get you anywhere. You can have all of the natural blessings, which basically are materialistic things, but be spiritually bankrupt. Jesus said it like this. He said, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" And so what's in the realm of the spirit is much more important than what's in the realm of the natural. Everything in the natural came forth out of the realm of the spirit. So what did God bless you with? The lesser or the greater? What was the greater? Okay, life more abundantly. But what was the greater, spirit realm or natural realm? So now God has given us, do we all agree with that, first of all? You know, because some people, they live in Missouri, you got to show me, I got to see it first. But being born again, born in the kingdom, Jesus said it best, and I don't want to go all over the place, but just giving you more scriptural support. Jesus said, unless one is born again, he cannot see or perceive the kingdom. Unless one is born of the water and the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The kingdom doesn't come by occultation or by visual representation, if you will. But the kingdom is real. He says the kingdom will be with you and the kingdom will be in you. When he preached, he said the kingdom of heaven is nigh at hand, if you will. You can't see it in the natural, but it is very present in the realm of the spirit. And it is greater than all the kingdoms of this world. For in the end, Paul says, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and the kingdoms of our Christ. They become subject to the very kingdom of God. God gave us everything that we needed from the realm of the spirit when we got born again. Why? Because in the realm of the spirit, it's greater than the realm of the natural. Everything that comes forth in the natural first comes out of the realm of the spirit. This is why we live by faith and not by sight. Faith is greater than sight. If we're touchy-feely, still earthly, we think that sight is greater than faith. We think that unless I see it, unless I put my hands in the whole prints in his palms and put my hand in his side, unless I put my finger in that hole and, you know, I'm paraphrasing, and put my hand in his side, I won't believe. I got to see it. And what did Jesus say to Thomas when he appeared out of nowhere, came right through the very walls, right into the room where they were in? What did Jesus say to him? Anybody remember? Stand up and say it, Minister Posada. Come on, say it one more time. Blessed are those who what? Have not seen, 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 have not seen. Say it, have not seen. Blessed are those who what? Blessed are those who what? Now, if you're a person that is only ruled by what you see, or a person that is only satisfied by what you see, you'll lose out in the kingdom. You understand what I mean by that? If you're a person that is only dealing with the natural realm, you are going to fail miserably when it comes to kingdom business. I'll just use that term. But if we are people who have not seen, but yet believe. Because see, in our belief, it's real. It's already done. It cannot be altered. I mean, we are convinced by God, even though we have not seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That requires faith. Faith is a good thing. It's what God gave to us. He dealt to each one of us the measure of faith. The Bible plainly says this. The just, those who are declared righteous, those who are in right standing with God, they shall live, and they shall live by faith. You live not by what you see. You live by what you believe. Because what you believe is greater than what you see. So God blesses us with the greater. Now, if the Bible would have said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every material blessing that's on this planet called earth, everybody be shouting, yeah, praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I got this, I got that, I got all of these things. And all of them begin to take the place of God. And those things decay. Sister Jay, you remember that Sunday you got up in the pulpit and you exhorted concerning giving, and you taught on the subject briefly on purchase frustrations? Yeah. There's some things that just don't leave. There's some things that just stick. You know, it's like a well-driven nail, like a goad that stays with you. Purchase frustrations. Ever went out and bought something and you were excited when you bought it, but then after you got it, it either let you down, broke down, or wasn't all that you thought it was going to be. And soon that cheerfulness and that rejoicing and that excitement turned to frustrations. Oh, why did I ever buy this thing? Buy a car, and it ends up being a clunker that you can't get no cash for. Praise God. Yeah. You buy a lemon, if you will. You know, you buy whatever, and then you get it home, and it's not all that satisfying. So God blesses us with a whole bunch of stuff that we can't be satisfied with. No, he gives you something greater and of more value than the natural things, the material things that we can make with our hands. He blesses you in the realm of the spirit where it really counts, out of the realm of eternity. If we know how to live and walk in the spirit, then the things of the natural will start chasing us down. Yeah. It maybe it sounds too good to be true, but it's the truth anyways. God said the blessing will overtake you. It will chase you down. But you just walk in the spirit. You just live in the spirit. Paul even goes as far as to say, if we live in the spirit, if we walk in the spirit, we won't fulfill the impulses and the desires of the flesh. Because the flesh will get us in trouble and take us out of the will of God. God doesn't want us out of his will. He wants us in his will. And the only way to be in his will is to be led by and to walk in the power of the Spirit of the living God. Paul said it like this. They that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the, yes, sons and daughters, if you will, of God. So what does God do? He blesses us in the realm that matters most. And he doesn't like, I'll give you 10, I'll give you 5, I'll give you 2. It's not like the talents. Or I'll give you 5, I should say. I'll give you 2 and I'll give you 1. That's better. For each and every one of us, all. You have all spiritual blessings. Hallelujah. Which puts a blessing on everything that you do. Yeah. You look at the lives of the patriarch, and they are written
It's written about them for our examples and our admonitions so we don't commit the same mistakes that they committed and that we walk in the obedience that many of them walked in. But even in that, you have Abraham called out of his land into a land he doesn't know, unfamiliar with, but nevertheless, he trusts God. He trusts the voice that he heard that told him, Abraham, separate yourself from your family. Come out to a land that I will show you. He packed his bags, took Sarah, his wife, and Lot followed him. But he went on out. It required faith. And what did God do but bless him? Even in bad situations, God blessed him. The man prospered. The man had cattle. He had livestock. In that day, that determined your wealth. If he had a lot of livestock, cattle, and all, you were a wealthy person. And so Abraham was blessed in everything that he did. Then it went to Isaac. It went to Isaac. And everything that Isaac did was blessed. Isaac sold in a land that there was famine. And in the same year, he reaped 100 times everything he sowed. That's because the blessing was on him. It was the spiritual endowment. It was the spiritual ability to prosper that was on him. This is what got me. Paul's talking to a church that made most of their money, their economy was driven by idolatry. These were people who took their witchcraft books, their sorcery books, who took their incantations books and things like that, fortune-telling books. They took all of them and burned them in the fire, and it was worth a lot of money. That's like working at a job where you're working with nobody but atheists, and because you come there, they make life miserable for you, and then you just say, you know what? This ain't the will of God. You've got a witness from God. And therefore, I don't care how much that paycheck is, I quit. Praise God. They abandoned the very things they were making money off of. You'll see when you read through the book of Acts how they had meetings and they started talking about how Paul had come into town and they basically turning everything upside down, if you will. And it's like, you know how we worship the great goddess Diana. And now, you know, they were fearful because now their money-making schemes were in trouble. When it came to the girl at Philippi who was doing fortune telling and all and making her master's money. Paul cast the spirit of divination out of her. And they were like, how are we going to make some more money? He took away our money. Let's kill him. So Ephesus was a place that they made their money off of idolatry. And so when Christ came through, people got saved, burned their books and all the things that they used in that type of worship. And here they were like paupers. Paul tells them, go down to B of A, go down to Wells Fargo, go down to, anybody remember Crocker Bank? Yeah, dating ourselves, Crocker who? Yeah, Crocker Bank. Crocker used to be a bank. But anyways, go down to your local bank. No, it's like, no. He didn't tell them anything natural. He says, tap into your heavenly bank account. Tap into the things of God, because whatever you're lacking, God is able to supply. But you need to be blessed. You have access. That's a blessing. You got access to the Father. You don't have to send a priest, a pope. You don't have to send nobody into the very presence and throne room of God. You can go for yourself. Well, they can say it better than I can. It doesn't matter what your lingo is. As long as you got faith and know that you have a right to go before the throne of God and petition him, and you know that if you petition according to his will, he's listening. And not only is he listening, but he's ready to act upon your request. You go in yourself. Hallelujah. You don't get cocky or arrogant and say, I don't need nobody else in the body of Christ. It's like, no, we're a family.
And so, you know, you have those who teach and those who are taught, and then those who get taught teach others, and then they teach others, and this thing just keeps on going. It doesn't stop with the person. You're not supposed to receive everything and keep it for yourself. It's like, no, you take it, you walk in it, work this thing out, and give it to somebody else. And you're the best testimony for them. What do you mean by that? Because after you witness to them and they say, well, it don't work for me. Well, it worked for me. I'm no better than you. I was in the same place you were in. The only difference is I believe. And this is what you have to do. You have to believe. That's why God gave you faith, to believe. Trust him. Don't be moved by a bank telling you no when God has told you yes. Don't be moved by the situation life has put you in when God has said you're in a higher place than him. You are risen with Christ and seated in heavenly places. Function from that position. Amen. Your spiritual inheritance is what makes things happen in this world. Who do you think is controlling this world? It's not the devil. He influences the world and the ways of the world. But this earth still belongs to our daddy. And he's still in control of everything that goes on. Stand to your feet. Some of you are looking around like, what time is it? Yeah. Yeah, it's past your bedtime. Pray. I love you all. Praise God. Very dearly. I do. I was going to take you where Paul was talking about the natural. And that's coming from a natural standpoint. First you have the natural, then you have the spirit. In other words, first you had Adam, man of the earth, and then you had Jesus, the Lord from heaven. But from the kingdom perspective, you have God who is spirit. And God spoke everything into existence. So the realm of the spirit is more real than the realm of the natural. The realm of the natural came into existence by the power that is in the realm of the spirit. And what does God bless you with? But all spiritual blessing. It trumps anything that could happen here in the earth. It's the authority and dominion that God gave Adam in the beginning. Remember, I gave him dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the beasts of the field, over every creeping thing. He gave dominion that came from God. And that's how it is now. Amen? All right. Whew. Father, thank you. Thank you for all spiritual blessings. Thank you for authority and power over all the power of the enemy so that nothing by any means shall hurt me. If you don't mind, raise your right foot up and then just stomp it. Yeah. It's all your enemies. Stomp them. You see, because I can't do it for you. You have to do it yourself. Yeah. And the other person can't do it for you. You got to do it yourself. He gave it to you. He gave it to me. We can help one another. But even still, you got to be willing. And you got to believe. Could come alongside and help you stomp even harder, if you will. But you got to put a stomp in there. You got to stand on God's word. You got to trust him. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name. All spiritual blessing, just all spiritual blessing. I'm empowered to have good, godly success. I've got the Spirit of God on me. I got the resurrected Spirit that was the Spirit that was in Christ Jesus that raised him from the dead. I got him in me, and I got all spiritual blessing that comes along with it. Joy is mine. Peace is mine. Love is mine. Favor is mine. I've got everything I need working on my behalf for my good and for your glory. You haven't left me lacking anything. You gave me the most important thing, hallelujah, in order to make things happen here in the earth. We receive it. We believe it if we walk it. In Jesus' name. Now, the Lord has blessed you, but the Lord bless you.
and keep you, protect you, watch over you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. His name be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, that the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell, because you're the church of the living God. Hallelujah. You're the body of Christ. You're blessed and you're not cursed. You're above and you're not beneath. You're the head and you're not the tail. Hallelujah. You're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. You're kings and priests. Not just a kingdom of priests. You are kings and priests unto your heavenly Father. Jesus is the one that made that all possible. In the realm of the spirit, you're royalty. So let it manifest in the natural. In Jesus' name. See everyone safely to their destination, Lord, that no evil befalls them, no plague comes near them, and no hurt, harm, or danger comes their way. Guide them safely, I pray, in Jesus' name. Everybody who agrees, say amen. We love you. We'll see you soon, if not sooner. Have a blessed rest of the week. Celebrate the goodness of God. Don't forget Saturday, 7:30 a.m. at the park in Antioch.